Okay, here we are. So Mount Jade, here's how this works. Mount Jade, the peak is at 3,952 meters. Hold on, coffee. Now, the issue with Mount Jade is that you have to get used to the altitude. Mount Jade is a fantastic, fabulous, quick, like it's a challenge because, see, it's like you have to do it fast. You have to climb up the mountain fast. I say climb, it's hike. I mean, there's a little bit of rock, like entry level rock climbing stuff, like really easy stuff. But it's like a 1,000 meter drop. No, maybe 1,500 meter drop right behind you. Like entry-level rock climbing, there's a chain to grab onto and a 1,500-meter drop right behind you. Like, if you jumped way out, you could fall 1,000 feet before you scraped up against anything. By that time, you'd have enough momentum that... You know what? Okay, I'm just not going to go over the gory details about what's going to happen if hopefully what isn't going to happen doesn't happen. But, you hike into this thing... You got to go like 8-9 kilometers hiking in. And that takes you up 1,000 meters. And then, so that's what? 1,000 meters? How many feet? Would that be about 3,000 feet, George? Yeah, we're talking about 1,200 feet, maybe. No, 12,000. We're talking about 12,000 feet above sea level, maybe. Ish. Yeah. Assuming a meter is a yard, roughly. Okay. So you've got to walk in and you keep going up in altitude. And we're not talking about the big, huge, tall mountains like the 6, 7, 8,000 meter mountains. Everest is almost 9,000 meters. It's well over 8. And it's like, we're talking less than half the height of Mount Everest, but climbing Mount Everest literally requires 5 months just to get used to the atmosphere. Just to get used to the altitude, you have to have 5 months, probably 6 if you really want to go to the top of, I mean, it's just half a year of your life just to go to the top of one mountain. You know, it's just like, you know, you've got to be a serious mountain climber or super rich with nothing else to do with your life. A real need to prove yourself because you can't find anything else to prove yourself. I mean, you've got to be very unusual in order to want to go to the top of Mount Everest. I know a guy who went to the top of Mount Everest and he got stuck up there and froze off some of his fingers. Like his hand looks weird because it's missing fingers because they froze off while he was stuck up on Mount Everest. Back in Michigan, his name's Chuck Bonning. Awesome man. Very, very awesome person. No, I went to his son's wedding, George. We're not talking these super, super high mountains that take weeks and weeks and months to get to the top of. We're talking about something that you can do quickly, so you have to do it quickly, and because you have to do it quickly, it's hyper intense. You could do it in 3 days, but you'd have to carry a whole bunch of extra food. You could do it in 4 days, but that could literally double your costs, or you'd have to carry a tent, which would mean you'd have to add an extra day because of everything had to go slower. So like the way to do this is really fast, because you can do it fast, so you really need to do it fast, but because you're going half the height almost of Mount Everest really fast, it is exhausting. So this is like the perfect wealthy, yuppie, celebrity, serious, hyper challenge. I'm busy, I don't have time for much in my life, but I want a challenge and an accomplishment. Like, this is perfect for that. Okay, so what happens is, it's all about temperature. You got to take multiple layers of clothes because you've got to keep adding more and more clothes as you go higher and higher and higher because of the altitude. And you've got to stop and rest and spend the night because of the altitude. Ugh, I'm getting tired. So you got to camp. You got to stay the night. Afternoon, evening, you drive up the mountain and you stay the night at 2,500 meters. And they call it a hut. I suppose you could call it like a cabin or a lodge. But all it is just a great big giant bunk bed. Like, it's a bunk bed with like eight people sleeping next to each other on a bunk bed. And you got your group that you're with, so it's not like weird. But it's just, I mean, in Asia, they have a big old fat floor. They'll take like three queen bed mattresses and slam them together. And that's the company nap time area. And they all just lay down and sleep. Like, they do that in that culture. So anyhow, whatever. It doesn't have to be weird if you don't want it to be. But so it's like a great big bunk floor. And you throw your sleeping bags out and lie down and sleep. And they give you blankets, but you go up to 2,500 meters, stay the night. It's a Chinese dinner, maybe a Chinese breakfast, lots of rice. You wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning because that's when everybody gets up. Get your things ready and then go to the entrance, which is like right across the street. A lot of people stay there and sleep in their cars. They save money, but you've got to spend the night at 2,500 meters so you can get used to the altitude. By morning, you're already feeling a little bit queasy. Altitude sickness is already starting to set in, but it's not as bad because you're giving it some time. The next day, 8, 9 o'clock, you've got it. Hopefully 8 o'clock, you show them your passport. There's only so many people that can go in because you're registered with your passport. You go in and you hike in. And you've got 8.5 kilometers you've got to hike. And you have to, you get that done. And hopefully about 12, 1 o'clock, you arrive 1,000 meters higher, 8.5 kilometers in. And you are exhausted because it's a hike up into the mountains. Anybody knows hiking up into the mountains is a little bit slower than coming out. Like, you can go 2 days in, 1 day out a lot of the time. Okay, so that takes about 4 hours if you're extra slow or old or something, maybe six. Well, then you get there, you're tired, it's 1 p.m. I mean, you're exhausted, you're beat. You sit down for 2 hours and it feels like 5 minutes. And you're just beat and you're just exhausted. 5 to 5:30, you have dinner, you're done. There's no shower, no nothing. It's all solar powered, so they shut the lights off at night and stuff. You go to bed at 7, get up at 2 a.m. the next day, because that's how it has to work. So you stay the night again, second night, 3,500 meters. So afternoon, evening, drive up in the mountains, sleep at 2,500 meters. Next day, get up bright and early, 6 o'clock, the butt crack of dawn, as one guy always said. Go to the entrance, show them your ID, make sure it's you that has a space reserved. Hiking 8.5 kilometers, you go up another 1,000 meters, and then you're at 3,500 meters. Get there in the afternoon. You're tired. You're exhausted. Stay the night. Next day, get up at 2 a.m. and you go to the peak. Get there by sunrise. Take your pictures. Come down from the peak as fast as you can. Grab your bags and then walk all the way out. And that's so it's one night and then 2 days. And technically, it's about 48 hours. It's about 48 hours from the time that you get in your car and drive up to the time that you're done driving all the way back. So for us, it was Tuesday afternoon. We got in the car. We drove out, got up there, and then stayed the night Tuesday. Wednesday, hiked. Thursday, went up, hiked all the way out, drove all the way back, arrived about the same time we left. It was about 48 hours. Okay, I'm going to tell you some of the fun stuff that happened with it. The thing is, like, it's really, really exhausting how the whole thing works. It's absolutely exhausting, and there isn't another way to do it. They give you a sleeping bag. You don't have to carry a tent. If you had to carry a sleeping bag and tent, it would probably add a day to your trip, and then you'd be too tired. And it's just, this is the way to do it, and that's what makes it so challenging. See you tomorrow.